So we're looking at this theme of real and fake, and how the rescue that God gives us is not a fake rescue, and how Luke shows that in Luke's gospel, that he goes to pains to show us that this is a historical account from eyewitnesses. And we're going to be beginning this series this evening, which we're continuing over a series of weeks, looking at God's great rescue, the great escape in Jesus Christ. So now we're going to read through our passage in Luke. Please do turn to Luke chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, we will actually read through to verse 18. Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Let's pray before we take a look at Luke. Father, though the gospel is a message that we are called to respond to, that we are to make a decision on, we thank you that it was you who decided to reveal yourself to us. It was you who decided to come after us. And so reveal your truth to us now, Lord, in accordance with your will and your purposes, that we may see you, that we may continue to respond to the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Christmas has come and gone. It's from the pastor's table. One of the must-have gifts this Christmas was the hoverboard. Now, unfortunately for the Back to the Future fans, it wasn't the hoverboard from Back to the Future 2, Marty McFly's flying hoverboard. One of these. It's more like an electric scooter. But still, they were very popular, so much so that a Catholic priest in the Philippines, he did get in trouble for this, used one during his Christmas Eve services to go up and down the aisle. Type it into YouTube, you can watch the video. But where there's a desire, where there's a demand for something, there's also a market. And you may have seen on the news, upcoming to Christmas, one of the big news stories was the dangers of some of these hoverboards and some of the fakes, that there were reports all over the world of them bursting into flames. Now, initially, it seemed it was when they were being charged in the home. But then there were reports of people riding them and smoke starting to come out, and they jumped off and they went up in flames, even ones on display in a shopping stall. Now, the exact cause is still under investigation. They're looking at where safety standards have been compromised. But it was this thing about fakes and cheap copies of these hoverboards They all looked very similar. They had the same purpose, the same intention. But some of them were a potential death trap. Now, this evening, as we've said, we're beginning this new series looking through Luke's gospel, looking at God's rescue plan. And Luke's gospel is an account of the life and the teachings of Jesus. And do have your Bibles open to Luke. You'll see in the first chapter, Luke talks about that he's reporting what eyewitnesses, people who were there at the time, have said. That's where the information has come from, and he's wanting to put it into an orderly account. And we're told that the purpose of writing this, just look at verse 4, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught, really to show that Jesus is the real deal. This isn't a fake, this isn't a cheap copy, this is the real thing. Eyewitnesses have testified to it, and I want you to know that. And so this evening, one of the things that I want us to know, to think about, to go away with, is are we sure that we are trusting in the real deal? In the gospel, God's genuine rescue. So do turn to chapter 2, our passage for this evening. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was governor over Syria. And we see this in Luke's gospel from the very beginning. It's set in history. This isn't a tale. This isn't a legend. The first readers of this book, they were in living memory of these events. They were able to look back and remember, oh yeah, I know when that happened. They could verify what Luke was saying or prove it to be false. Just like many of us can think back to certain events that have happened in history, 9/11. We know that that happened. The moon landings. There are things that are still within living memory. And so this is a big, significant event that the readers, this gospel, could say, well, yeah, that's true. I know when this happened. This isn't like Star Wars. A Star Wars set a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away during a time where the galaxy is at a time of civil war. I mean, you can't verify whether that happened. And you're not supposed to. Because it's a fable. It's an entertaining fable. But we're not to understand it as real history. I mean, despite this, I think on the last census, 0.7% of the people in England put their religious affiliation as Jedi. Hoping that's a joke. But you never know. Let's just hope that wasn't serious. But the birth of Jesus was shown this is history. This is real. This isn't a made-up fable. This isn't a metaphor for life. This is something that is genuine. This is how Luke starts. And so we see the birth of Jesus set during the reign of Caesar Augustus. This is when it happened. But in Luke's gospel, we also see in this chapter that it's set not only at the time of the reign of Caesar Augustus, but in contrast to the reign of Caesar Augustus. That again, Jesus is the real rescuer. Jesus is the genuine saver. Not Caesar, not anything else. And we're going to look at that theme of fake and real just after this short video. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Hunger Games, that was President Snow from the Hunger Games. And my purpose in showing that is we get a bit of an idea, really, of what Caesar Augustus was like from that video. And for those of you who are familiar with the Hunger Games, think about that character. So there were various claims that were made about Augustus, Caesar Augustus. He was claimed to be a king. Practically, he was the absolute ruler of the Roman Empire, considered by many to be its savior. Also claimed to be divine. His real name was Octavian, but he took the name Augustus, which means exalted one, one who's lifted up. And another title that he was known by was son of a god. A world ruler. The Roman Empire spanned across nations, across continents. In many ways, if it wasn't part of the Roman Empire, if the Roman Empire wasn't touching it, really it wasn't really classed as part of the world. And there were various perks to Romans for being part of that Roman Empire. For others, less so. Again, those of you who know the Hunger Games, think about the idea of districts. He also claimed to be the bringer of peace. Pax Romana was a big thing at the time. Peace in the Roman Empire. So sea travel was fairly safe during the Roman period. Pirates had been eliminated. Civil war in the Roman Empire had ceased. Opposing nations, they were quashed. And yet peace was brutal. It came at a cost. One of the signs of peace, in many ways, was the cross. You defy Rome, this is what happens to you. We put you on a cross, we throw you in an arena. With animals, with gladiators. Similar again to the games in Hunger Games. And so Caesar Augustus, at the time Luke is writing this, at the time of the readers, one who was claimed to be the savior, one who claimed to be the rescuer. And yet, like those hoverboards, a false promise, a false hope, a death trap. And in the midst of these fake claims, Luke shows us the genuineness of the gospel, the true rescue. And we see that through the words of the angels. And so let's have a look at some of those words. Now turn to verse 11. So we see what we find out about Jesus. Verse 11, Jesus as a king. We are told that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. As a term that means God's chosen king. Not just any king, not a self-appointed king, not a king that other nations recognize, but the king that God has chosen, the king that God recognizes. Jesus as one who's divine. In verse 11, we're also told that he is the Lord. Now that word Lord, it could be used just in a similar way that we might use the word sir as a sign of showing respect. But it could also be used as a term for God. And I've counted 19 uses of this word so far in Luke's gospel, before we get to this point. In every single instance, Luke uses it in a reference to God, the creator, the judge of all men, the one true God. And that's how Luke uses this term, Lord. So not only is Jesus God's chosen king, he is God himself. Also a world ruler. Look at verse 10. Good news that will cause great joy for all people. Not just for a select few who are going to benefit from the reign of Jesus. It isn't like the Roman Empire where you have to be in a certain in crowd first. Or in the Hunger Games where you have to be part of the capital. And if you're not part of that in crowd, then sorry, it's not going to make a difference to your life. This is a message that is potentially open to all. The invitation is to all. Your country of birth, your education, your gender, your political views, even your past doesn't have to exclude you from this gospel. It's a message that is open to all. And then also the true bringer of peace. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And this isn't like the peace that Rome proclaimed. A peace that came about where their enemies were slaughtered. Instead, this is the peace of God. The peace of God where God himself is slaughtered so that his enemies might become his friends. And I've said this before, that sometimes we often think of, a peace in terms of an absence of conflict. And so people here this evening might be saying, or we may meet people who say, you know, I'm at peace with God because I'm not actively opposed to God. I'm not like the Richard Dawkins type people who are vehemently against God. I'm at peace with him. I'm open to the concept of God. I'm not opposing him. And if that's the case, you're thinking that here tonight, I mean, your presence here is evidence of that fact, that you're not opposed to the concept of God. And yet peace in the Bible, when it's described, is not simply the absence of conflict, but the restoration of a relationship. That's what Jesus came to bring. And so if we're not in a restored relationship with God, we're not experiencing that peace. We are not at peace with God. God wants us to bring us into a real restored relationship that we may experience real joy, real life, a real rescue. So a question for some of us to consider this evening is, are we trusting in the real rescue? Or are we trusting in something else to bring us peace? We may not be living in the days of Caesar Augustus, but we certainly live in a world where there are loads of opposing claims to bring about peace, to bring about rescue. And it's not long after New Year, and many of us may have New Year's resolutions. Many promises that are offered at this time of year of how your life can be changed, how your life can be transformed. And yet, if it isn't the gospel, if it isn't Christ, they're false claims. They won't be able to deliver, and they're potentially a death trap. And we're surrounded by these messages. Now, if you get the right education, you get the right job, get the right house, get the right guy or girl, you have the right lifestyle, if you follow these sets of rules, if you follow this crowd, then life will go well with you. But if it takes us away from Christ, if our trust is in those things other than Jesus, then we're trusting in an empty and a vain hope. And through Luke's gospel, we see how Jesus came to meet our real need, to bring us back into relationship with God. He doesn't come to give a list of commands that we just need to follow. He doesn't come to bring a new philosophy that we just need to mentally adhere to. He comes as the real rescuer, the one who's able to save us. That through Jesus, through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, we may experience the forgiveness of sins. That through that, the gift of the Spirit, who works within us to change us at the core of our being, to change our desires, to change our wants, to change and transform us. So it's not just as changing our actions, but it's who we are being changed, transformed, to be the people that God calls us to be, that we may be in that relationship with him. And this is a promise, as we said, that is open, that is offered to all. Elsewhere in Luke's second volume in Acts, we read that this promise is to you, your children, and to all who are far off, to all whom the Lord our God will call. And is God calling you this evening? Is this something that you've heard for the first time? Or it's made sense for the first time? Because the truth of the gospel requires a response. Just as the shepherds, as they heard this message, and they went to find out, to discover what it was all about. And that's one of the big reasons why we're running Christianity Explored. To provide people with that opportunity to explore, to find out, to test, to go and see for yourself Once you've heard it, see for yourself. And when you see it, share it. And if you haven't been on Christianity Explored before, I encourage you, come along. You won't be disappointed. And we can all be praying if there are people, you know, maybe we've been having conversations with at work or our friends. And invite them along. We've got nothing to lose, really. It's an opportunity for them to test, to explore, to find out. And maybe we've been a Christian for years. It's still a good thing to come along to. As we were considering on the Equip weekend away, the gospel isn't really or just something that you believe to become a Christian. It's how you are a Christian. The gospel is how we live our whole life. We don't start with the gospel and then move on to something else. We only continue with the gospel and continue in the gospel. The gospel is a message we need to hear. It's a message we need to share. And not just with those outside these four walls, but we share it with one another. Because that's how we grow. That's how God works in us. It was he who made that decision. He decided to come after us. He decided to pursue us. We are called to respond, but we respond to what he's done. So we need to remind one another, encourage one another in that, as we also tell that to this world, that this is the real rescue. And over the next few weeks, on Wednesday evenings, this is a theme that we are going to be considering. We're going to be reminding ourselves of God's real rescue in Jesus Christ. And so let us not be tempted to turn away to anything else. Everything we need is in Jesus. Christ is enough. Always. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your abundant provision in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That wherever we are in our life, that the gospel is the answer. Oh, that it is through the work of Jesus that we can be restored into relationship with you. That we can be changed and transformed to be the people that you have called us to be. To be like Jesus. Will you work that work within our lives? Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand. And we continue to pray for our Christianity Explore course. That people may see and explore that truth of the gospel. Lives will be saved. But also for all of us, that we may continue to grow and move forward in Jesus Christ, both today and evermore. Amen.